I want to read three passages to you from John's Gospel. The first one, in chapter 1, starting at verse 35. Most of us are familiar with the words, "Behold the Lamb of God," but that's verse 29. Verse 35 says, "Again, on the morrow, John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, teacher, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come, and you shall see. They came therefore and saw where he dwelt, and they dwelt with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, Christ. Now chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 37. All that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. In chapter 14, verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And look at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, saith unto him, Lord, what is come to pass that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the effect that the words of thy Son have upon the hearts of believers and upon the hearts of unbelievers as well. They can fill men with rage as when Stephen spoke the words of God. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But they can fill our hearts with peace and serenity. And we are thankful for this. And what they do for us who believe, they can do for all who are here. And that is our desire, our Father, that the words of Christ shall do us good. So, if this is to be accomplished, thy Spirit must work in the hearts of those who hear. Now, there's no Satan is at work. Are not the birds of the heavens swooping down to take out the good seed sown in their heart? So, thwart his purposes, our God, and accomplish thy, and empower him who speaks, and forgive and cleanse from sin as thou hast promised, because we confess our sin. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What could the portions that I read to you this morning have to do with the scriptures I gave you for the last 2 weeks? For the last 2 weeks, I've been speaking about the closed heavens and the open heavens, and then I spoke to you about man's closed heart and open heart, his closed ears, his closed eyes, his closed mind. And what happens when the Lord Jesus Christ opens those parts of his body? Now, what could the scriptures that I read to you this morning have to do with the subjects of the last 2 weeks? Well, they are this. When you come to man, everything about him is closed. Unless God intervenes, everything is closed. His ears are closed. His eyes are closed. His mind is closed. His heart is closed. But when Christ comes and works upon him and there is no resistance, then all these things open. The reason I read you these three scriptures this morning is to show you that the Lord Jesus is just the opposite of the men that he came to save. Now, think. Here is a man who owns a home, and he comes unto his own, and his own receive him not. The door is slammed in his face. Here are men, and Christ would enter into their hearts, but they will not have him in their hearts. The light shines. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And then, here is a place in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. All right, I simply tell you these scriptures. And now, let us see the difference between Christ and the creatures that he came to save. When the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, everything was shut. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. When he was born, no room in the inn. Everything was shut. But when the Lord Jesus comes, everything is just the opposite. Here is the Savior, and this is the marvel, that he had a place to lay his head at the beginning of his ministry. We all know the verse, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. But here, he did have a place to lay his head. It wasn't always so. So, he has a home, and people come to him and ask, Rabbi, where do you live? Where do you dwell? He said, come, and you shall see. He had a home, and he opened that home. Now, in John chapter 6, it reveals the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in 6:37, all that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. He came unto his own, and what did his own do to him? They cast him out. They would have thrown him over the brow of the hill. They rejected him, away with him, crucify him. And so man's heart was closed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. And so the Lord Jesus had an open heart. And he had not only an earthly residence. I told you about that. It was worth coming out on a Wednesday night for me to tell you about that. I may not tell you about it, or I may tell you. We'll see. But the Lord Jesus also has a heavenly residence. Now, that's different. If I had a humble abode, and somebody of your quality wanted to come, I may let you come in. But if I had a heavenly abode, and somebody of your quality and mine wanted to come in, I would have second thoughts. But the Lord Jesus said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, and not only do I allow you to come in, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So think, all the earthly possessions that the Lord Jesus had, they were made available to man. He had a humble abode, and yet he said, you want to know where I live? He said, you come and see. and he was hospitable. He showed hospitality the whole day. And it had an effect upon John and Andrew that they never forgot. He invited them into his earthly residence, and they stayed with him that day. Here are others, and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And anyone who would respond to that call, it says, him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. And so his heart is open. And here are some trembling, unworthy sinners on earth. And they think of heaven. And they say, is it possible that I could ever go there? The Lord Jesus says, why, of course it's possible. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see the difference? On earth, men stay with him a day. In heaven, they stay with him for eternity. And the Lord Jesus, during his short span on earth, takes time to let people intrude into his life, come into his home, and he entertains them. Can you imagine that? That the Lord from heaven allows creatures on earth, men of flesh and blood, like himself, himself without sin, he allows them to come and stay with him in his home. And not only that, here is a difference, and there is a great difference. There are some people who have allowed me to come into their homes, but they've never allowed me to get into their hearts. Do you understand that? There are people that have come to your home. You've been civil. You've been polite. They didn't enter your heart. But the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. And then, think. Suppose you had someone visiting in your earthly home, and you were invited to some important person's mansion. You would excuse yourself and say, I have to go there. Come to see me again here. But the Lord Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you to my Father's house. And so he opens heaven to you. When it comes to man, everything is shut. Because of man's sin, the garden was shut, and the tabernacle was shut. And yet when the Lord Jesus comes, everything opens. But in this case, it is Christ personally, and that is most important. There are some things that you do for a living, but unless you were paid for it, you wouldn't do it. That's the sad thing. There are some preachers who preach, cut them off without a cent, and see if they continue to preach. But the Lord Jesus is one who does come, and he of his own volition and freely, as he said to his disciples, freely you receive, freely give. That is something that the religious world today knows nothing about. And the Apostle Paul said it's the only thing that I could possibly have to glory about for this reason. The only thing that I could glory about is this, preaching the gospel to you for nothing. And I will tell you this now. My cousin, who came for 2 weeks, he's in Raleigh today, he was talking to me about Christians. And when he came and kept talking about my sermon, he said, one of the things that impressed me most is that you didn't take up a collection. Isn't that humiliating? Not my preaching, but you didn't take up a collection. Why? Because we are determined to teach this. You may not like what we say, but you cannot cast any criticism upon our motives. We are not out to get anything from you. We are out to give you something. And that is of the greatest importance. And the Apostle Paul said, God ordained that they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He said, but I make it my goal even though I am to receive a stipend, remuneration for preaching the gospel, he said that I may preach the gospel for nothing. Now, he took money from the Corinthians. He took money from the Philippians. He said, but the thing that I can do, a work of supererogation, is this. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But God said, if you do preach the gospel, you shall live of the gospel. He said, the only thing that I can do that isn't required of me is to preach the gospel for nothing at all. And so here is the Lord Jesus. And what do you think he charged them for entertaining John and Andrew that day? You say nothing. Why, of course not. The Lord Jesus freely opened his home on earth to sinners that were seeking. He did that. And other sinners that were more serious in their seeking, the Lord Jesus Christ opened his heart to that. And those who entered his earthly home and entered his heart, those, the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to take with you, I'm going to take with me, I'm going to take you with me back to heaven to my Father's house. So every material thing that Christ has on earth, he's prepared to share it. And his innermost heart, he's prepared to share with men. And he's prepared to share heaven itself with sinners like you and me. That's the difference between you and Christ. Me and Christ. I'm trying to become more like him. All right. Notice, the Lord Jesus had a home. People ask, he says, come to my home. When is the last time you opened your home and took anybody in and entertained them? You say, well, it's inconvenient, it's unpleasant. I see. You are so important, your time is so valuable, that you are above the Lord Jesus, you see. He had much time. He was supposed to, you say, no, it could not be. He was God's son on earth, and he only had some 30 years to spend down here, and yet he spent it entertaining unworthies in his home. I want you to keep that in mind, because it is most important having people in your home. When Christ had John and Andrew, it mentions Andrew. John never mentions his own name in his gospel. You deduce from the others that it is he. He is the one that was with Andrew, and he is the disciple that Jesus loved. When he had them in their home, an impression was made on them that was not made when they saw him walking. As John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, and they followed him. But in his home, he was able to converse with him. They were able to talk and behold him. And when they got through talking to him and went away, Andrew said, Peter, we found the Messiah. What happened? Why, he entertained them in their home, in his home, and they understood that he was genuine, that he was the promised Messiah to Israel. Now, you don't know me. Some of you have never had me in your home. I'm not rebuking you. I'm just telling you. And you see me, and I'm always dressed up nicely when you see me. And I always articulate plainly when you see me. I tell you no jokes. I do not carry on any foolishness in the pulpit, but it may be different if you had me in your home, you see. And in like manner, when a preacher is seen, you see him in one respect, and you say, that is his nature, that is his disposition. It is one aspect of his disposition, but you have him in your home, and it's entirely different. It's like this, and I'm not criticizing you, I'm just telling you what you are missing. And I'll never get to know you, and you'll never get to know me, because you haven't had me in your home. Now, as much as I love George and Joanne Corn, never been in their home, but the Lord worked it out. We were both in the home of Albert and Eleanor Simpson, and I got to know them in a way that I've never known, and I've been coming here for years. You see, I'm just telling you that. So it's worth tolerating people like John Mills to have him in your home. And you will find that he will eat what is put on your table, some of it, and you'll learn ever so many things about him, and he'll find out some things about you. Because when a person sits down at your table, you know whether he has manners, you know whether he has education, you know whether he has wit, you learn ever so many things about him, good or bad. you see him unless he's on his best behavior, and sometimes even that slips up. You'll find out about a person things that you never knew before. It's worth the inconvenience to say he's real or he is artificial. But in this case, they came and the Lord Jesus said, you want to know where I live? He said, you come and see. And they came and see and stood with him one day, and they were never the same again. They were able to examine him. He said, which of you convinces me of sin? And so they were there, and they beheld him and talked with him and enjoyed his presence. And they said, there's no doubt to us, this is the Messiah. You've never come close enough to the Lord Jesus. He will have you that close to him. He will let you examine him. This is what Pilate said. He said, I have examined him and find no fault in him. And you let Jesus come into your life and you may examine him minutely. And your conclusion will be, I find no fault in this man. But you will not come into his home and you will not come to him personally to examine him. There will be criticism. There will be fault finding. But I say, where did you learn this about the Savior? Well, I haven't. Have you read the Bible? No. Well, how do you know that this is true about the Savior, or it isn't true about the Savior? And you can't give an answer. The Lord Jesus is open for examination. He says, come and examine me intimately, and then what conclusion you draw, let that be the conclusion. That be the estimate you have of me. And all men that had an open heart that examined the Savior. And notice, this is not when Christ is in the pulpit. This is in when Christ is in his own home, his own environment, and they are able to talk with him, and they say, this man is the Messiah. I told you the other week that when Nathanael was told about the Lord Jesus by those that had learned about the Lord Jesus, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They said, come and see. That's all you have to do. And so the Lord Jesus spoke one sentence to Nathanael. Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. How do you know me? And the Savior said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see, you've never examined the Lord Jesus. No one who with an unprejudiced, open heart, who examines the Lord Jesus, will ever come up with any criticism of the Lord Jesus. I've heard one criticism, two criticisms of him. These are the criticisms, and they could be just, unless you understand. The Lord Jesus was hungry one morning, and he saw the fig tree, had leaves, nothing to eat. He said, let no fruit grow on thee from henceforth forever. And a man said, look at him, cursing the fig tree. I'll leave it with you. If you want to find fault with the Savior in cursing that fig tree, I shan't explain the lesson there. It's profound. And on another occasion, here is a poor man that is controlled by demons. And when the demons are cast out, they're permitted to go into the swine. And the people said, what right has he to cause that man swine to be drowned? He didn't. The demons caused the swine to drown. But after all, it was Jesus' fault. And so they said, what right has Jesus to impoverish a man? I see. What if he enriched you? Would you accept that? You say, oh yes. Shall we receive good from the hand of God and not evil? But you see, they have false with him. And so I tell you, you go and tell God this. I was going to trust Christ as Savior, and I was interested in heaven, but he cursed the fig tree. And once, he took a man's swine and caused them to perish. And so for that reason, I'm rejecting Christ in heaven. I want nothing to do with you. I tell you, you find those faults of Jesus. God will say, I'll accept those. You don't like my son for that reason? For the swine being destroyed and for the fig tree being cursed? All right. You don't have to have him. Fine. But all people who examined him with an open heart, with understanding, said, I find no fault in this man. And the centurion said, truly, this was a righteous man, God's son. And so all that examine him, that know about him, they have no criticism of the Lord Jesus. They say this, the half has not been told the good things about the Lord Jesus. Now, what I want to tell you about is this. It's so beautiful. It says, Lord, where dwellest thou? Where do you abide? Now the word is meno. Where do you abide? In John 14 it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and the word is mane. It's the same word. One is a verb and one is a noun. And so, where do you dwell? Where is your mansion? Where is your abode? The Lord Jesus said, come and see. And so the Lord had an earthly residence. And the same word is John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. And so the Lord Jesus has a heavenly abode. He's living with his Father. There are some that live with their father, their parents. And so the Lord Jesus said, I'm living with my Father. Right now I'm sitting on my Father's throne. In the coming day, he will sit on his own throne. But right now he's living with his Father in heaven. And he says, my heavenly address. And so he said, I'll take you there as well. Think of that. The Lord Jesus, who should be ashamed of us, ashamed of Peter who denied him thrice, and it said all the apostles forsook him and fled, and one of the apostles sold him for 30 pieces of silver, he should be ashamed of them. But it says in Hebrews concerning those that place their faith in him, those that look for the city that hath foundations, that said he's not ashamed of them to be called their God, and he's prepared for them a city. So the Lord Jesus said, yes, you're not worthy to be with me on earth, but I'll let you come into my home on earth, and not only that, I'll let you come into my heart, and if you do, I'll take you with me to my abode in heaven. That's the openness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, here is man. The Lord Jesus comes unto his own. His own receive him not. They shut up themselves. They are not receptive to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're closed. And yet, man and God's Son should be closed to them. When man comes to him, he's open. His home, what he possesses on earth, it's open to sinful man. His heart, it's open to sinful man. His heavenly dwelling place, it's open to sinful men. And that means you. The Lord Jesus invites all to come. That is what is so beautiful. Here is another criticism. I told you about two criticisms that, if they're not understood correctly, they could be lodged against the Lord Jesus. But here are others. And it's a beautiful criticism. They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Praise God! He receives sinners and eats with them. I told you he has a heart that is open. Now, that is his criticism, you see. That he receives sinners and eats with them. How are you going to get to heaven if he doesn't receive sinners and eat with you? Tell me, are you going to get there? You say, well, I don't know any righteous person. Well, the only person who can get to heaven is an unrighteous person. And you have to receive Christ, and Christ has to receive you. And the criticism was, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It's the only way men can get saved. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Of course he did. But there were those self-righteous ones who said, now, we are worthy for him to receive us. But there is no one who is worthy to be received by Christ. But he will do it in spite of your unworthiness. And let's think for a moment of John 6. It says, all that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. There is not any repugnant, vile sinner that the Father has given to his Son and sent to his Son that the Lord Jesus has rejected. Think of this woman who in the city was a sinner. And the Father said, I want to give you this woman. And when she came and was shedding tears and washing and wiping the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with the hair of her head and kissing his feet, when all of this was happening, the Father said, I'm giving this woman, a sinful woman, to you. But the Lord Jesus said, yes, Father, I'm not going to cast her out. And the one in whose home he was being entertained was looking at this and said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman this is that is at his feet. The Lord Jesus knew exactly what kind of woman she was. But the Lord Jesus received sinners, and he ate with them, and no matter who the sinner was that the Father gave to Christ, he said, him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. Simon the Pharisee would have said, cast her out. And Zacchaeus the publican, they would have said, cast him out. Because they said, he's gone in to eat with a man that is a sinner. You see, those are the criticisms of Christ. They can criticize his grace, his open heart, his love. That's what they can criticize of him. But if they could not criticize him in that way, there would be no sinners in heaven. His only criticism is, I have an open heart. My possessions are open to whosoever will may come. Heaven, I throw it open to whosoever will. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Lord Jesus opens up the resources of heaven. And he says, whosoever will, let him take them. And men criticize him for that. All right, I will accept your criticism. You get to heaven on your righteousness, your good works, your merit. Get to heaven that way. And if there is any wisdom in you, you'll say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then why are you criticizing Christ for receiving sinners when you are a sinner? And the only way you can get to heaven is if he receives you, a sinner. Christ has an open heart, and no matter who the sinner is, that the Father gives him. And the Father has chosen some that normally would be rejected. The Lord Jesus said, I will accept them. And so he has an open heart. And he has an open abode in heaven, and he's going to fill it with sinners, but sinners that have been redeemed. Look, he tells you how open his heart is. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to the rich young ruler, come, follow me. He gives his life. He opens up his life. Now, this is something that I do give, but I give in measure for this reason. If you came to my home with questions, I would answer all your questions. I would give as much time as you needed. But when I saw that all your questions had been answered and your problem was met, I would be ready to excuse myself and go in my room and study and pray to God. The Lord Jesus is one who openly gives his life. There are some people who do not have to prepare, who do not have to study, but the Lord Jesus was one who did study. Someday I may tell you about that. But the Lord Jesus was prepared to give his life. Think, here is a man that is rich, influential, a ruler, and he says, you come, follow me. Here is another, and he says, I will follow you whithersoever you go. And then the Lord Jesus finally says to another, come, follow me. Here is the Savior, and he's willing to share his life with you. And it's the most wonderful experience on earth to go through life with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not that God has his son to introduce you to him, and then he says, how do you do? And then the Lord Jesus is cordial to you, and then you walk through life by yourself. But you go through life with the Father and with the Son. The Lord shares his life with you. Not the way he did with the apostles when he was on earth, but he still shares his life with you. And he listens to you, he intercedes for you, he suffers long with you, and he shares his life with you. All of these things are true. Now, just this to make you think some more, to open up other avenues. I told you that when Christ came to sinners, they were closed, and the Word of God was a closed book to them. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God was an open book. He told them all the interpretations. He was excellent at the age of 12. What he longed to do was to be in the presence of the doctors of the law who supposedly knew the Word of God. And it said he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Notice, he's 12 years old. He's hearing and asking questions. And the only time that he speaks out is when they ask him. And it said they were marveling at his wisdom and his answers. When they would give him, as you are teach the catechism, then the answers that Christ gave, the Lord Jesus was one who had the Word of God, and to him it was an open book. He could say, as it was said of Samuel, he did let none of God's words fall to the ground. And the book that was closed to man was open to Christ, and he would open it to others. And his mind was open. There's so many beautiful things I can only tell you. It says in Isaiah chapter 50, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth mine ear. He wakeneth morning by morning my ear to hear as those that are taught. The Lord opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. And so here's Christ's ear, and it was open to every word the Father ever spoke to him. And man's ear was closed, and his eyes were closed. But the Lord Jesus said, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him everything that he does. He could see his eyes, his ears, everything about Christ was open. And that is the difference between you and me, sinners, and Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. And his heart is open, and his material resources are open, and heaven itself is open. And he wants to share it with you. He says, come, come, and he will not cast you out. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we understand about the niggardliness of man, the selfishness of man, the self-centeredness of man. For all of us who are that way, forgive, O God. And we are refreshed as we look at the openness and the generosity and the grace and love of thy Son. We are thankful that he is so much like us in being flesh and blood, and yet so unlike us in being sinless, holy, harmless, separate from sinners. We are so thankful, our Father, and he's made higher than the heavens, and those heavens he will share with us. So let us rejoice, not criticize him because of this openness, and rejoice that he received his sinful man, because that's what we are. That's what we were when he received us and gave us eternal life. And we are so thankful that he does receive sinful men. And that is why we are able to preach this gospel of grace this morning. So let them come to the Savior, and he who died on the cross and shed his blood to cleanse them from their sin, he will give them rest, and eventually will give them a place in heaven.